4:13-17, and I've simply titled this today, Tomorrow. Tomorrow. Last weekend was 4th of July. Even though most of the parades and fireworks were canceled this year due to COVID, I think I heard more fireworks this year than I've heard any other year. I read an article that said in New York City, June of 2019, a very different year, in contrast, a very wonderful year, the police received only 32 complaints in June of 2019, 32 complaints about fireworks. In June of 2020, again, a very different year, the police said they received 13,109 firework complaints. That's a big difference. So that tells me a few things. That tells me this year, when we have been told not to do fireworks, we do them anyways. We, the people, are going to do it more. We, in general, don't like to be told what to do or to be controlled. We like to be in charge and do not want to be told by other people what we should do. Now, I, like most people, enjoy fireworks when done properly in the right setting. I like the colors, the explosions, even the smell. The smell of fireworks, it smells like summer. It smells like 4th of July if 4th of July had a smell. I'll come out and say it smells like America. But we like to go and see the flash of colors, hear the loud boom, and then we see the smoke that is left from that firework. Is there, that smoke's there just for a moment, and then it's gone. In this passage of James that we are going to look at today, he talks about people doing what they want to do. And it talks about our life being like a mist or a vapor that is there for a moment that vanishes, just like that smoke that is left from the firework display. So let's read together our passage first, James 4:13-17. Let's read this together. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. We find James here continuing his pastoral teaching with his readers. This very much continues with verses 11 and 12 that we talked about last week. Last week we talked about judgment or mercy. We saw that when we begin to judge and slander our neighbor instead of loving our neighbor, we are promoting or making ourselves sovereign. And we stop being a doer of the word, but a judge of the word. As he said last week, there is only one judge who is sovereign over all, and that is not us. No matter how much we want it to be, it is not us. So now we come to this next section of James, and he is addressing a problem he is seeing in the life of those Jewish believers he is addressing. And it is still very relevant to us today. That he has seen this root problem of the last two verses we looked at last week. They and we are still trying to be sovereign. We are still trying to take the place as sovereign, even though we know there is only one who is sovereign. And again, we know that one is not us. Last week we talked about being sovereign over others by judging and slandering them. Now today we are going to look at trying to be sovereign over ourselves, over our own lives and over our own plans, over our own tomorrow. So first we're going to look at self-sovereignty, our self-sovereignty in verses 13 and 14. Let me read verse 13 again. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Here again we find this earthly wisdom that is putting self first. The earthly wisdom James has already warned us about. James starts the section with the phrase, come now. Or as the NIV translated it, now listen. James, this is a pointed call for attention that James is giving us. It indicates he's about to say something very serious. So listen. Now listen, he says. This seems to have been a common practice in ancient world, to go to a new or different city, set up shop, make a profit, then come back home after a certain amount of time wealthy. You might be thinking to yourself that you are not in business here in your own hometown, so you certainly are not thinking about, never mind planning on leaving, to go into another city and go into business there. So you might say, well, this might not really apply to me today. But one commentator I read on this said this about who James is addressing in this section. He said, James is reprimanding people here, perhaps businessmen or merchants, but it is stated very broadly so as to include virtually everyone. Anyone who does any of these five things, he goes on to list five things that would make it apply to virtually anyone. First, he says, they plan to set out on a trip today or tomorrow. Today or tomorrow we will go. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of us have planned a trip in advance? Certainly, if you're going to fly somewhere, most people don't just drive to the airport on a whim and say, let's go to Hawaii today. That would be very nice, but there's planning involved, passports involved. Things must be planned out. So secondly, he goes on, second, they plan to arrive at a destination. Today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town. They plan. They put thought into a destination. Third, he goes on to say, they plan to spend a certain amount of time there. Today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there. Again, they had a planned departure, a planned destination, and a planned amount of time to be at that destination. He goes on to say, fourth, they plan to engage in business and carry through a plan of action while they are in that city. As it says, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there in trade. Fifth, they plan for the business to have a certain result. Today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. So again, the commentator is arguing, if you have done any one of these five things listed, James is talking to you. Now, I am sure you are thinking, just like I am thinking, is it wrong to plan? I had a professor in college who used to say, if you don't plan, you plan to fail. So is it wrong to plan? Is James saying we should not plan things, just randomly do things? No. He is not saying it is wrong to plan or to make plans and do them. Planning is not the problem in this passage. The problem James is addressing in this passage is the plan that is made in verse 13 is made without taking a true view of life and God into account. We're going to look at verse 14 that is going to tell us about the true view of life that is not being thought of or considered in our plans. In verse 14, James tells them who are planning this venture, this trip, yet You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. He is telling them, in all your planning, in all your energy and effort you are putting into this grand plan, you are not taking this view of life into account. You are looking at earthly wisdom. We are appointing ourselves sovereign. I am going to do all of these things because I want to. Just as I made myself sovereign in judging people, I'm going to yet again make myself sovereign over my own life, my own future plans, over my own tomorrow. Only pure arrogance takes God off the throne of our life and puts ourselves there as we pursue what we want. Self-sovereignty, as we know, is a very big problem. When we appoint ourselves as sovereign, we are letting self win the war for our heart. When we give in and appoint ourselves as sovereign, we make me the center of my universe instead of keeping God at the center of our universe, at the center of my heart. This is one place where God and God alone is meant to be. Also, this self-sovereignty makes us think we know more than we actually do. Think about this. Let's think back to January, just a few short months ago. If I told you in January that we would have a worldwide pandemic that would not only shut down America, but would shut down the entire world for months, you would have thought I was crazy. But here we are. None of us could have ever imagined or predicted or known what was coming in March, April, May, June, July, and unfortunately we go on and on. But God knew. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knows exactly when it is going to end and how. It is all in his sovereign plan. When we act like we know more, we start to rely on what we think we know instead of relying on what is true. What is true? The revealed word of God. Knowing your limitations, knowing your life is but a mist for a short time, must drive us to God and his great grace. In our humility, we must come to the revealed word of God. It will direct us. We must be driven to the wisdom of a sovereign God who knows everything from the beginning to the end. He has written the story. He is in control of the great redemptive story, and his word reveals to us how to live inside the story that, whilst we're on this world, we will never fully understand. There are two things we know. The old joke says, the only two things a person can be sure of is death and taxes. Well, today I'm going to add two more things to that list. Two other things we know is God knows the future, and second, we do not. God knows the future, and we do not. What does James tell us in verse 14? You do not know what tomorrow will bring. You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. In light of this, what we call the true view of life, how is that going to change your plans? How is that going to change your life? Now, because we know tomorrow is unsure, and we are but a mist, a vapor, just for a moment, should we give up? Should we stop planning because tomorrow is uncertain? No, we don't stop planting. We don't stop planning. We don't stop making plans. You don't stop planning for the future. You don't go hide in your house and take yourself out of society because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. No, planning is not the problem. Planning is not wrong. What matters is whether the true view of your life informs and shapes the way you think and how you make your plans. Your outlook matters. Your perspective matters. We must keep in mind that we are not in control of very much. We want to be in control, but we can't. Our life is but a mist. We have to keep in mind that we have no firm substance on this earth. We are fragile people, appearing for a little while. It matters that we keep this view in mind. God created us not just to do things and go places, but to have a true view of life and God. God wants that truth about life to be known and spoken as part of our reason for being. We have looked at the self-sovereign way of thinking, of making plans. Now we come to the second part of this passage, and we're going to talk about God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. We're going to look at the correct response to living life in light of this true view we must have. What is the right view of God that he teaches us to have? We can see what he tells us in verse 15. Verse 15 says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. He is telling us, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. This must change the way we approach and think about tomorrow, about our plans, and what we are going to do next. Let's look into this verse a little more. If the Lord wills, we will live. James is teaching us that the Creator, the sovereign God, is the one who is in control of our life and death. He knows the time of your life. We do not know how long our mist or our life on this earth will be, but God knows. If the Lord wills, we will live. James is teaching us that this is the true view of our life that we must have, and it must shape our mindset and thinking. There are examples of this in the New Testament. Paul in Acts 18:21 says, but on taking leave of them, he said, I will return to you if God wills. And he set sail from Ephesus. Paul recognized his life is fragile and in the sovereign hands of God. Then in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 19, he writes, but I will come to you soon if the Lord wills. And he goes on in the verse. But again, he is saying what James is teaching us here. Our life is in God's hand. James wants that reality to form our thoughts and our mind and our words. This should be part of our conversation. The true view of God in our own life must be known, must be embraced and spoken, as James tells us. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. As we can also see from verse 15, he's not just talking about the Lord knowing and controlling the amount of time we have on earth, but he's also teaching the things we do, our plans, our actions are in God's hands as well. Again, verse 15 says, if the Lord wills, we will live. But it doesn't end with we will live, but it also goes on to say, and do this or that. Not only our life is in his hands, but also our success, our failures are in his hands as well. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that, which can also read, if the Lord does not will, we will not do this or that. We can see, if we do this or that, whatever this or that happens to be, it is in the hands of our Lord, of our great God. We can now look back at verse 13 and see what the problem was with the plans and the planning these people are doing. They do not have this true view of God and themselves in perspective. And they are making these plans. Like we said before, planning is not the problem. Wanting to do business, make a profit, is not the problem. The problem is we don't have a proper view of God in our life when it comes to making plans. We want to do what we want to do. We want to be in control. We want to have fireworks, especially because we are told not to have fireworks. There's a deeper problem here that James is talking about in verse 16. Verse 16 says, "As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." The bigger problem is pride, arrogance. It is thinking we know better. We know exactly what is going to happen tomorrow because we have every minute of the day planned out. We boast in our arrogance. We want to be sovereign over our life. So we do not give thought that God has a different plan for us, a different will for tomorrow. We don't give a thought of what God's will might be for us because we are too busy boasting in our arrogance, boasting in our plans we have made and what we are going to accomplish. James tells us this boasting, this arrogance is evil. Then James goes on to verse 17. "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." This could be taken very generally, as we know not to steal. So if you steal, that is sin. We know not to murder. So if you murder, that is sin. Yes, this verse can be applied very generally to sin. But what is the context of this verse? James has just been teaching the wrong, boasting, arrogant way that we can plan our life. The evil way we can put ourselves in control and not give the right and not give a thought to God and his sovereign will for our life. He is telling us, you know better. You know the right thing and fail to do it. So to you, it is sin to live your life this way. Instead, we must have the true view of God in our own frail life. We must have the proper mindset and the proper speech when it comes to our life, our future plans. We must not be arrogant people. We must be humble people. We must live in the submission to the will of a sovereign God. What would be the proper response, the proper thing to say about our life and about our plans, about our tomorrow? James tells us, "Lord willing, I'm going to go to this or that town. Lord willing, I'm going to do business. Lord willing, I will make a profit. Lord willing, I will get up tomorrow. Lord willing, I will go to work. Lord willing, I will see my children grow. Lord willing, I will see them grow into godly adults. Lord willing, I will live." It is only through the Lord's will. Will you submit yourself to the sovereignty of God? Or are you still holding on for control of your life? If you have put your faith and trust in a holy, sovereign God for your salvation, for the forgiveness of your sins, then why will you not give him control of your heart and your life? Let's look at the life of Christ on this earth. He came to do his Father's will. With every word he said, with every thought, with every action and deed, he was perfectly submissive to his Father's will. He was tempted as we are tempted with pride and materialism, but he did not give in. He did not sin. He lived a truly humble life. So humble, he lived without many things we think are absolute necessities of life. He was humble and submissive to his Father, to his Father's will and plan for his life. He willingly faced rejection, mistreatment, physical torture. All of his submission, all of his rejection, all of his torture was for you and for me. because that submission took him to the cross. So he could take on our sin, take our punishment, that we could have eternal life. Please, I ask you again, who is winning the war that is going on in your heart? Are you letting self win and rule your heart? Do you want to be sovereign, ruling your own life, even though you have no way of knowing what is going to happen tomorrow? Never mind what is going to happen in a year from now. Or is God's sovereign over your heart? Are you humbly submitting yourself to his will and his plan for your life? Remember, it is not wrong to plan. It's not wrong to want certain things. But don't forget the true view of God and leave him out of your plans and out of your tomorrow. He is the sovereign God that sits on the throne. He knows tomorrow. He knows the future. We just have to seek his grace to follow his will. My prayer is that we are a humble people dedicated to the true view of Christ in our own life. That we are a people who are doers of the word and not hearers only. So as we plan tomorrow, God and his sovereignty and our frailty will be put at the center of our plans for tomorrow. Let's pray together. Lord, our Heavenly Father, how we are. You hold our life. You know the beginning and the end. And Lord, we humbly come. And Lord, we ask that as we go, as we go out, as we make plans, as we set goals, as we have ambitions, Lord, that we would have and keep the proper view of our life and the proper view of our great God. And Lord, I pray that we would be a people dedicated to seeking and following your will. And Lord, as we go out, I pray, Lord, that we would keep you at the center of our heart and our mind. Lord, that we would not give in to self, that we would not give in to the sin of allowing ourselves to be sovereign over our life. Lord, I pray that you would be sovereign, the sovereign God in our heart and in our life. And Lord, we know we can only do this through your great grace. So Lord, this morning I pray that you would bless us with your great grace today and every day as we live to seek and do your will. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.